When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
I am happy to announce that Target Circle, the program we all know and love, now has automatic deals.
And with the all-new Target Circle being free to join, there has never been an easier way to take advantage of the most deals at Target.
When you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout, so you get the savings without lifting a finger.
And right now, you can sign up for Target Circle 360, which offers unlimited same-day delivery for just $49 for the first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details.
Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circle card.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs.
Whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job, choose Express Employment Professionals.
Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers.
Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you.
I have had a cold now for 8 days. I can't kick it. 9 days, whatever it is, it will not go away. And I keep hearing all these random people giving me advice on how to get rid of it. And the one I heard yesterday was just doing shots of bourbon with lemon in it, which sounds great. But then I feel like I'm just going to be
that
drunk with a cold.
Gets you drunk and then you don't mind having a cold.
Right. So I'm wondering if you guys can give me any advice about the most random ways you've heard to get rid of the common cold, which is just not going away.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, first of all, do you use a neti pot?
A neti pot? Oh, the neti pot, the thing where it goes in your nose.
Yes,
that can clear your nose for sure.
I do not use a neti. I feel like I'm drowning if I put things up my nose and then dump water into my head.
I would like to say that a neti pot, one, is great. Even if you don't have a cold, it helps prevent you possibly from getting sick because nasal visage is getting all, you know, helping keep it clear from germs. And when you are sick, it will help push things through faster. I really cannot say enough wonderful things about a neti pot, and I would highly recommend do it in the shower.
Did we just enter a neti pot commercial and I didn't realize it?
It also leads me to believe are to we doing not a bit? Have tea I at totally Danielle's house whenever I go there.
Do we have the copy? I don't know what the neti pot.
Neti pot. You can get it at your local CVS, Walgreens, wherever you shop.
Use 20% off code neti. Neti Meets World.
I've actually never used the neti pot, but I know people like around me have all you swear it. But I also heard it's kind of addictive though. Like one of those things. Like once you clear your nasal passages.
I don't recommend using it every day. Right. I don't recommend using it every day if you're not sick. If you're sick, I recommend using it every day. If you're not sick, a couple times a week, maybe just once a week. Okay. Or maybe you just pick and choose like before you go on a plane, after you come off a plane, like places where maybe you're going to be in extra germy environments. I use it in the shower so that I don't have to worry about, you know, it dripping down my face or feeling like I'm drowning. I can just figure out the best, most comfortable position to be in to use it. I really highly recommend that. And there is a little bit of truth, Will, to the idea of the bourbon. That's kind of like a hot toddy.
Yeah.
It's honey, lemon, a little bit of your favorite type of alcohol, and a cinnamon stick. Okay. And it will help, one, help you sleep. It will soothe a sore throat. It will just give you a little bit of extra rest.
I have no symptoms other than my head is clogged for 8 or 9 days now.
I can hear it.
I just can't. I cannot kick this thing. It is killing me at this point.
I'm so sorry. I also really love Theraflu. If you don't want to do the alcohol version, a nighttime Theraflu. They make a daytime Theraflu. I'm also a really big fan of Flonase. It really
Flonase. The Flonase works on me. The Afrin is the stuff that's scary.
Do not
because
touch
you squirt
Afrin.
It and it works so well. And then next thing you know,
that
you're
is addictive.
Up at night trying
I don't
to score
recommend
Afrin on the street.
Yeah, I don't recommend. My dad had an Afrin addiction. Couldn't breathe without it.
I did too
it,
at one point. It's, yeah. It happens fast too, but it's such a good product.
And then you can't breathe without it. So yeah. Flonase doesn't do that. It's non-addictive. So, you know, Will, I think if you started a regimen of Neti Pot, Flonase, a hot toddy and or Theraflu, you're going to feel better in a couple days.
Just going to stick to the bourbon. I think that's the way I'm going to go. It seems the easiest way just to start taking shots
of
bourbon.
The least natural of the ways.
I will tell you though, I'll meet you in the middle and I will drink bourbon in the shower.
Okay.
So we'll do that. Perfect. Sold.
Wonderful. Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Fidel.
At this point in the podcast, we all know about Andy and Danny, the unstoppable 90s duo that took photos throughout all of Los Angeles and held up childhood blankies that looked like genitals in front of handmade cars like it was nobody's business. But what you don't know is that we had a third amigo. Someone who was in just as many photos and also held just as special of a place in my heart and also Will's heart. But we'll get to that later. Our guest this week is best known as the iconic, the Dorothy Six Lemure on Blossom, the eccentric best friend nicknamed because it took that amount of beers for her conception. She'd also be seen in the night.
Is that the story, really?
Is that what it was, really? Yes. It took six beers to be. Wow.
Isn't that funny? I didn't know that either.
That's great.
She'd also be seen in the 1999 sitcom The Parkers and heard as Stacy in the classic A Goofy Movie. But we'll always remember seeing her in real life in that red convertible Toyota Celica, where she was the coolest woman any of us knew. And there was no way you could convince us any different. This week, we are thrilled to welcome not only a 90s sitcom legend to Pod Meets World, but someone from the inner circle of myself, Will, and Ryder. It's Jenna Von Oy.
I thought it was white. She had a white Celica, because I had a red one.
Hers was red.
Oh, I thought.
Let's ask her.
We'll
Let's
ask.
Let's settle this right now.
That's one of the reasons.
If hers is white, I'm gonna be flabbergasted.
What are you talking about? Tell me.
Was your convertible Celica white or red?
I'm just curious. At first, I have to ask. Who said what?
I said red.
I said white.
I don't remember.
I mean, I'm gonna go with the guy I dated was correct.
Thank you. My Celica was red. Hers was white. That's one of the reasons we bonded at dinner that night.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm really.
Oh, God. Hi, you guys. Holy
Hi.
Cow.
Hi.
So good
so
to, see,
good
you.
To see you.
Oh, my God. It's so good to see you. I'm so excited.
First of all, my whole life I've wanted a red Toyota Celica convertible, and I've attributed it to you my entire life. I've said it in panels, I've said it everywhere.
Well, you were inspired by her, but then it became red in your imagination. So your version was going to be red. That's how you're going to be. You were going to be like, yeah, you know, your version. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, you know, the dream that took off from. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You were the inspiration the and I just wanted the cherry red. Wow.
Yep.
It's pretty, pretty amazing. So to jump into all of this, do you know how many photos we took together? And related to that, do you have room in your house for a few boxes full of them?
No, because my mother has already sent me all of the ones that she stockpiled in her attic. And apparently my mother was far more of a pack rat than I ever gave her credit for. So no, there's no room. For
no boxes. Room. We took
but
a lot of photos.
I will say this. So I have a 9 and an 11-year-old, right? And I'm threatening this summer to make them sit down. I actually kind of think this is a brilliant idea. I'm very excited about it. I'm threatening to make them sit down and go through all of like the old Teen Beat magazines and tear out the pages and like I think this is a really good summer project, guys.
So you're going to make them scrapbook your past?
Yeah, you're going to consolidate. I like that.
Yes, because my mother gave me all these boxes of magazines, and I was like,
what am I going to do with all these? I have all of mine, too.
Yeah, that's great. Just to take your pictures out, you can call it Between Beat. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I'll show myself out. That's fine. I am officially done for the day.
Let me just say that some things never change.
All right. Do you guys have any memory of meeting Jenna? Or Jenna, do you remember meeting us? Because for me, you just appeared fully formed as the most experienced, coolest, nicest. Like when we showed up on Boy Meets World, it was like, who can we trust that knows what's happening in this whole crazy experience? And it was like, Jenna. And you were just like the rock for all of us.
In what warped world was I totally balanced and good?
I don't know, but you were the coolest person ever. I think you were 16 or 17. You had been on a hit sitcom that was like ahead of us, like two or three seasons in. So when we started, I just know that we all looked to you. It was like, how can we be more like Jenna? And like, you were just always around. You were so kind. You were so nice confident. With our parents. You like had your own apartment maybe already, or just your own car. So you were just like everything we wanted to be. And it was like, who do we trust? Right? I mean, don't you guys remember feeling this way? And absolutely. I don't remember meeting you. I this fairy that entered our life. And like, I knew I needed you in my life. And like,
I remember everything about meeting
this
Jenna.
This gives me all the confidence that I never had that.
Of course I remember meeting Jenna. I remember where we were. I remember the first night we met. Of course.
All right. Tell us the story.
Well, do you want to tell it or should I tell it? You're the guest. You should tell it.
I kind of would like to defer to you for a moment.
Jenna was writing an article for, was it a teen magazine?
Yeah, I think it was Teen Beat.
Was it Teen Beat? Okay, and so was it Scott Appel? Somebody put us together, through a publicist, put us together so you could interview me.
No. Yeah, Scott Appel wasn't around.
I feel
for
like
years.
There were probably underlying matchmaking things happening that
probably.
Neither of us were privy to, but that's besides the point.
Yeah. And so we went to an Italian restaurant in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
And we both ordered salads because both of us were too embarrassed to eat in front of each other. And neither of us, I think, took a bite the entire night we sat there.
Wow.
And likely because we were talking too much. But maybe also because we were nervous about eating in front of each other. Yeah.
In front of each other. And we instantly found out we had all these things in common. We were from Connecticut. We both drove Toyota Celicas. And she was recording it and she kept stopping the tape and then going back and being like, oh my God, we just found out another thing that we had in common. It was just one thing after another. And we just kind of started dating after that. We were just kind of together after that night.
Yeah.
Wow. How long did you guys date for?
4 months? Six months?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Is that right?
I mean, at 16, I feel like it was a pretty lengthy.
Yeah, it was.
Not that he broke up with me in a parking lot in Connecticut, but that's like a story for another time.
Tell that story. Forget the story of how you
tell the breakup story.
Go
now, Jenna.
On. Tell that story, Jenna. Go.
It's fine. I'm not scarred from it or anything. I did, ironically. So there actually was a very precious thing, which was that it was the first Valentine's Day, this fun little secrets that I don't think anybody knows. First Valentine's Day that either of us had ever had a significant other.
Yeah.
Which a significant other you can have at 16. And he was so sweet and gave me his favorite Whalers sweatshirt.
Not the jersey, the sweatshirt.
Thank you guys. That was like so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe we're like in this in minute, what, four? It's impressive. This is like record. Siri is talking to me now. She's like, here's what I found. God knows what she's going to talk about.
Whalers sweatshirt. Whalers Friedel.
$44.99.
Yeah. So, Whalers sweatshirt, which I actually located, I think, about 2 years ago and was like, holy crap, I still have this sweatshirt. And I took a picture of it because I was going to try and send it to you. And I don't know if I like found you online and sent it to you or not. Like I was going to try and find you on social media and like send it, but I think.
Yeah, I don't have any social media stuff.
But correct. Did you take a picture of it before you donated it or do you still have it?
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that because I was getting out of a storage unit. And I'm not going to say I've had the sweatshirt in a storage unit, but you did break up with me in a parking lot. So storage unit.
I mean, I do feel like we
I'm
we
amazed
have
you
this-
kept it at all.
You didn't burn it in effigy.
What? I mean, come on.
We know how you met. So now I think it's only appropriate we know how it ended.
Correct. But no hard feelings. I mean, you know, no. 30 years later.
Yeah, that's life.
We saw each other after that. It wasn't like we never saw each other.
But that's what I mean. Jenna was around for a while. Yeah. Like, I mean, at least that first season.
Yeah.
You were just the most experienced, like, actor.
That's so bad. Experienced actor. Okay, yeah, just like, let's make sure we add actor to like the very
end. He's not trying to say you were a fast girl.
No. You were just the one who knew the ropes of like being on a sitcom and how to manage like the teen magazines and like where to go. Like, I don't know. Like, did you go to Ed DeBevick's with us? I feel like that sounds about right. Like,
that's highly likely. Yeah.
I feel like that you were just in the scene in a way that like, you know, we just looked up to you. I just remember looking up to you and you were so cool and fun and we just liked each other. And I just remember like thinking, yeah, and it's so funny to look back and be like, yeah, you were actually probably only 16 and probably had no clue what you were doing either, but didn't feel like that.
How people who are only a couple of years older than you seem so much older at the time. In my brain, and of course I still feel this way. I'm like, oh, you're 27. We're the same age. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
But like, you know, at that time, I feel like I looked at you as being my peer and being the same age as me. Meanwhile, I was obviously a couple years older than you, and that distance in age was just that gap huge. Was so huge.
Yeah.
What I remember most for you, Ryder, is the cruise that we all
went. Yes.
Which was so fun. And so insane looking back. But
for you, not fun for Ryder.
Hell for Ryder.
It was ocean hell is what we've called that now.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Oh, wait, but you were there. Hold on. You were in the first year, right? Or were you there when Danielle went? I think you were there the first year.
She was there with me.
She was? Oh, did you do both years then?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know there were 2 years.
Oh, yeah. I went 2 years.
I did 2 years too.
Wow.
You went 2 years?
Yeah.
There might have been reasons why they didn't invite me back. It's possible.
I think you did do the second year.
Good. That's
so
good.
You weren't invited the first year, but you got invited to the second year.
Okay, fair. Well, then we'll go with that. Sounds better.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Danielle, I'm checking in. How are you feeling right now? I know you've been busy and you love your sleep. So where is your social battery currently?
I'm a little run down. We've been doing some traveling again, and I need a little bit of a recharge.
Yeah, I have to agree with everything Danielle just said. A little bit of a recharge would be nice right now, feeling a little exhausted, if I'm totally honest with you. And now, of course, coming out of winter, maybe it's time to do the opposite of bears and hibernate. I don't know. Ryder, I know you love being around people and doing charades. How are you doing?
Oh, good. I actually feel like I want to see more friends. I need to I've been sort of locking down and focusing on writing. So I'm actually looking forward to socializing a little bit more.
Nice. Well, when looking for your own self-awareness to build a social life perfect for your battery, therapy can help.
I started therapy just last year, and it has helped me with social boundaries. And even though I know there's no way to avoid being spread too thin, I now make sure I give myself the love and care I need to keep going.
And it's definitely helped me become the best version of myself.
If you've been on the fence about therapy and how it can help you, why don't you give BetterHelp a try?
You can connect with a professional entirely online, making sure it's convenient and flexible with your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, and they match you with a licensed therapist.
And at any time, you can switch therapists if you're not comfortable or satisfied. No additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MeetsWorld today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MeetsWorld.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
So Will mentioned already, you're from Connecticut. How did you decide to become an actor? And what did your parents think of you wanting to do this?
Other than that I was nuts. you know, acting is not, it's not in my family at all. My mom is from a small town in Wisconsin. My dad is from Fairfield, Connecticut, very, you know, fairly small town. And when I was about 3 years old, there was a Jordache jeans commercial. And all these girls were doing ballet and I loved to dance. And I took dance classes at the time, essentially because my parents didn't know what to do with me because I had so much energy, which now as a mom to a firecracker of a nine-year-old, I'm like, oh, got it. Feeling you. my poor parents. but so I think, you know, I saw this commercial and I was like, oh, all these girls are dancing. And I don't know what goes through one's mind prior to understanding that there are actually people on display on the television, that it's not robots, that it's not, I don't know what you think prior to that. But for me, that was my first indication that there were actually humans that were doing these roles and they were dancing and these were kids like me and it made sense to me. And I was like, oh, well, that's what I want to do. So I started telling my parents and they were like, oh, that's so cute. You know,
right.
You're going to fight fires one day, dance another. Right. Yeah, you know, wear Jordache jeans the next. And I was like, no, it's that. We're done. Here we go. And scene. So yeah, they started, they didn't know what to do. They ignored it for a while. And then this woman, my dad was a longtime server at a really beautiful waterfall front restaurant in Connecticut that served, you know, people like Paul Newman and Martha Stewart for many, many years. And it was just like this classic traditional restaurant. And the bartender there, ironically, or maybe not so ironically, when my dad told her that I wanted to be an actress, said to him, oh, that's funny. I just started taking my son to New York for auditions. I'm a manager now. I've become a manager. My dad was like, I don't really know what that means, but cool. And she said, well, I'd love to meet her. And I went to her house and she was like, oh yeah, we're going to do this. Wow. And so she started taking me to New York for auditions and stole plenty of money along the way, might I add.
Oh no.
Because it was one of those situations where, you know, my parents were so green and they didn't know them. They're both from small towns and they had no idea. And which really, in the long run, as much as it sucks to say this, like, it's kind of a beautiful thing. It's beautiful that my parents didn't know any better and that they were amateurs in the whole thing. You know, we learned together. We grew together in the business to understand it better. And may not be taken advantage of quite so much. But yeah, so this woman took me to New York on the train for auditions for years. And then at some point when we realized sort of more of what was going on, my parents started taking me in instead.
So what was the first job you booked?
It was a Jell-O Pudding Pops commercial with Bill Cosby.
I remember this. We talked about this.
I was an extra. One of the girls licked a Jell-O pudding pop after she was told not to lick it and got her tongue stuck, a la Ralphie
Christmas Story, yeah.
in The Christmas Story. And it was, but it was quite the memorable day.
Tell us more.
I other than her getting her tongue stuck, like that's really the bulk of my memory is
That's
her getting her tongue stuck.
it.
Memorable because of that.
So wait, how old were you when you did the commercial?
6 years old.
Six. Okay. So yeah,
Oh my gosh, you
you're
were
in the young
young.
group. Yeah, you're in the young group for us.
So me, Joey, Melissa Hart, Sarah Geller, Natasha Lyonne, these are Allison Porter. Like these are all people that I was in New York with and grew up with and
So you knew Joey before Blossom?
So I didn't know Joey, but we were both auditioning in New York at the
At the
same time.
same time.
I mostly knew the girls because
Right.
we would end up at the same auditions.
Right.
When did you then get or hear about Blossom for your first time? Was it a thing where you auditioned in New York and they flew you out to LA, or were you already in Los Angeles?
I auditioned in New York. And
You guys were the cool New York kids.
We
You
were.
and Will both.
It was
Amazing.
another thing we had in common, and we had a lot in common when we met. We
They
really
always
did.
it, there's always this the network test came down to two people from LA and one New Yorker. Always.
Always.
And the New
Always.
Yorker always got it. It sucked for us
Okay,
LA kids.
but not true because I went to network for Roseanne with Sarah Gilbert and she got it. Not
Yes. We
a
always saw the LA people as the ones that were actually getting the
I know,
roles,
but
and then
when
we
they
had to
flew
fly
you out from
home.
New York and they put you up in a hotel, you felt so much cooler. They gave you
Oh,
that extra bit
yeah.
of confidence, like they're flying me out.
It was great.
Ugh.
I mean, that's probably fair. Yeah. Like, I'm not taking the train to the audition today. I'm flying in. Like, that's pretty high tech.
And staying at the Universal Sheraton is always where
Always
they
this
put you.
universe. Always the Sheraton.
No,
They
for
put
me,
you.
it was always that Howard Johnson's, which may not be a Howard Johnson's anymore, on like Vineland or
They
Coney.
put you at a
Exactly what you're talking
Hojo's? Oh
about. No,
They
I used to
put
stay at the Hojo's
you
with my manager all the time.
Really?
With Bruce and I at that Howard Johnson's. Yes.
Oh man.
Oh,
Absolutely.
I remember the
Absolutely.
taste of the instant coffee that you would get in your room. Like that.
For me, it was like an attached restaurant at the time, because going back a little bit far. And they had these like fried clams and clam chowder. And of course, it was not like an East Coast clam chowder at all.
No.
I mean, not even close, but it was like the only thing even close to home that I could find. And I
Oh
was
my
latching onto
God.
it. Like,
I'm sorry, I can't let one thing pass. Ryder, how old were you when you were drinking the instant coffee in the hotel room?
Probably starting at 11.
I
You know,
know.
because it was like super sweet. It would be like
That's what I
instant
just went to.
coffee.
I was like, wait a minute, you're
I
at the
know.
hotel as a kid, you're drinking
Oh,
the
I know.
coffee at
I
10 or
started
11
drinking
years old.
coffee at 12.
I started drinking coffee at 6 years old on my way to New York for 3 a.m. because we would leave from Fairfield train station. There was a Dunkin' Donuts at the train station. And I would have to be in by 6 a.m. or whatever. So we'd have to leave my house at 6 or at 3 rather to get there by 6. And so my dad would get me half coffee, half cream.
She's
I
drinking and
attribute
drinking
load
coffee,
you up
so
on
yeah.
caffeine. All of my Napoleonic stature and my
I
coffee obsession
Right.
to my father getting me Dunkin' Donuts.
Jenna, I say the same thing. I'm horizontally challenged because of the coffee at 12.
Oh
You
man.
started for you
Starbucks
at
are doing it
6.
as fun sized these days.
Oh
But,
pint sized, fun sized.
At 11 years old, the coffee would have ruined the taste of my cigarettes.
Okay, so will you tell us a little bit about what Will asked? The blah, how did Blossom come around?
So I auditioned in New York. The same day that I auditioned for Blossom, and this is like the most, probably one of the weirdest stories for me because I'm not really a believer of ghosts or things of that supernatural, things of that nature. Just not really very much a, I like logic. I really love logic. I really embrace logic. And so things like that kind of tend to elude me. However, on this particular day, I was auditioning for three different things. One was a show called Lenny, one was a show called Blossom, and one was some sort of miniseries or commercial or something. And I got on the train with my mom and we sat in the back, and this man was sitting in the row in front of us, and he turned around and he started talking to me. Because in those days, a grown-up can talk to a child and it's not terrifying as it is now. And this man was like, you know, what are you going to New York for? And I said, oh, I'm an actress. I'm going to some auditions. And he goes, tell me about them. And normally I would not have done that, right? I would have felt very uncomfortable and not done this. For some reason, I felt very comfortable. And I said, I'm going on an audition for this show, or this miniseries, this show, and this commercial or whatever. And he was like, Blossom, that one. You're going to get that. Get ready.
Wow.
Jeez.
And I was like, okay, thanks. Well, at the next stop, we looked and he was gone. Like, he had gotten up and left. We hadn't noticed. He was had totally disappeared. And I was like, Mommy, what would happen if, like, I did get this show and it filmed in California? She goes, oh, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And I was like, I think we're at it. He just said, I'm getting it. And lo and behold, I go and I audition for the show. And then I also audition for the show called Lenny. So Lenny and Blossom were both created by Don Rio.
Okay.
Amazing, just phenomenal writer. Both were Whit Thomas shows. Mm-hmm. One was NBC, one was CBS. And when I was flown to California to test for Blossom, I was also flown to California to test for Lenny.
They were vying for you.
Yeah.
And that's always the best way to be in Hollywood. That's so everybody awesome, wants right? you then.
I mean, yeah, I'm not complaining at all. But Blossom was first. And before we went to network, they brought Mayim and I together at the Sunset Gower lot. And we went up to this room. I'll never forget this. Like, I can remember what she was wearing. I remember what I was wearing. Of course, they told me to bring, I had worn this like crazy wide brimmed purple hat to the audition. And when I got the call back, they were like, tell her to wear the hat. And so they were like, tell her to wear the hat again. So it became part of my character
trait.
You were
defining the character,
right. And being a New Yorker, or being, you know, being from the East Coast, just being an East Coast girl, like I talk quickly. It's, you know, I've lived in the South now for 17 years. So probably sounds, I'm like very bipolar in my verbiage here, or my language. But back then I very much sounded East Coast. And I think that the fast talking derived from that. So they brought me up and I talked to Mayim and we did the scene together. And then we went into network together. Yeah. She had already gotten the role. They brought me in with her because they knew that they wanted me.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make sure that that was what happened. Joey was also there. So, you know, they had us and they told us, talk about crazy, because this would not happen now. We walked out of the room. They told us to hang on for a second. They told us we got it outside of the room.
Jeez.
We were at network when it happened.
Wasn't that the best?
Oh my God.
But now hold on a second. Mayim was the show, right? She was already cast. Like, the show was being built around her. But you and Joey both got the part at the same time in the chemistry test. Amazing. Yeah, so they saw the show. They were like, here's the show.
Yeah, Mayim had done Beaches already, right? I mean, that's where she...
That's why they created Beaches.
And then she had also done a show called Malloy, a very short-lived show called Malloy after Beaches with Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
And so they knew that she could... I feel like they knew that she could carry a sitcom. Dawn for sure knew she could carry a sitcom. And now, in retrospect, of course, we all know that.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that that used to be the, like, I don't know, do they still do that where they, like, see a kid actor and then go, give that kid a show and build an entire, like, that was how our show got created. Yeah. That was how Blossom got created. There was the Gabby, what's her name show that was
Gabby
created?
Hoffman.
Gabby Hoffman got her own show. Yeah. Like, if you were a kid actor and you had, like, a breakout role in a movie, you would just get a sitcom the next year. They would build a whole... I don't know if they do that anymore. That's so interesting.
I mean, they
Disney
do it.
Channel might.
Yeah, Disney Channel does. I mean, that, and Nickelodeon, even That Girl Lele. You know, so it's not necessarily having a role in a movie, but maybe you have a song or you're a big social media talent. They're, you know, influencer type thing. If you're a personality, a big personality as a kid, they might try to build a show around you. I mean, Mayim was such a force at such a young age. What were your first impressions of her?
I think really the same impressions that I have now. I just know her a hell of a lot better. Mm-hmm. And she's brilliant. I don't think anybody meets Mayim and thinks, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
She's okay. She's so smart. Like, that's, you know, that just doesn't happen. She's a phenomenal woman. And I will say that we are a lot closer now than we were back then. You know, it was a little bit odd with us growing up together because she and Joey and I were so on such far ends of the spectrum when it came to our likes and dislikes. And, you know, she liked Elvis Costello and Joey and I were singing, harmonizing to Boys to Men. Like, it was just a very disparate scene, but she's always been so cool because she's never been afraid to be her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Very just unapologetically her. And that's something that I've, you know, Ryder, you talked earlier about like looking up to me and being experienced. Like I looked at Mayim like that. And although she had never done a show before and, you know, Joey and I had both spent years already in the industry prior to being on Blossom, you know, he did Give Me a Break and all of that. And I, you know, and I'd done tons of guest spots and miniseries and movies and whatever else, like, but Mayim to me somehow was just this like essence of knowledge and like, you know, there's like, she's just a fount of knowledge. She really is. Like, she's, and she's always been super professional, which I will say to all of our credit is something that, and I imagine this was the same on your show too, but all of us really, really put a lot of stock in being professional at all times.
Yes.
Sure. I look at shows that are on now and I think, you know, it's a very different scene. And you do have sort of, like you said, Danielle, those who sort of are involved because they've gained notoriety through some other avenue like social media, which doesn't necessarily prepare them for the type of work ethic that happens on a set like we had.
Absolutely.
What was the set of Blossom like?
You know what? It was really awesome. Like, we had a lot of inside jokes and we had, like, Mayim and I we laugh now because we used to have these like little codes that we would send each other about boys. Will, I'm sure your name was in there somewhere.
Oh, it had to be.
I'm sure. Actually, let me say, so you met her for the first time not that long ago, like a couple weeks ago, and she sent me a text and she was like, guess what? And she sent a picture of you guys together. And I was like, no way. And I was like, that was my first boyfriend. She goes, dude, I know. That's my point.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Cause she said to me, we were talking and she said, why did you never come to the set?
I wondered that too. Cause I still have never met her.
I don't think I did either.
And I answered truthfully and this, and I'd like to know, I'd like you to answer this because I was never invited. You even when we were dating, you never invited me to the set of Blossom.
Really?
Mayim said it was because you thought she would try to steal me. And she was joking, of course, as she was saying that. But she said, why didn't you come? And it's when I realized you had never once invited me to come to the set of Boy.
Yeah, she was always. I remember.
Yeah,
totally. I came to the set of Boy Meets World all the time. It more likely was because I was worried about what the hell Joey would say.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, probably. Oh,
that makes sense.
We've always had very much like this brother-sister relationship where like he's kind of like the wild card for me where I don't always know what's going to come out of it. And I probably wanted to keep it private and not feel everybody was in on it, you know?
So you weren't embarrassed by me?
Oh, for the love of God, no.
Okay, good.
No. Now, I don't know, but
anyway. Yeah, well, now, well, everybody is. This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves,
and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fishel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
I want to have the Joey conversation. I want to hear what that was like, because when you started the show, he was obviously already working as a child actor, but he became like the Joey Lawrence we know because of Blossom, right? So what was that progression like as his character became, you know, this phenomenon, and as he became this public figure and then a musician? Like, what happened there?
Sure. Well, as his hair grew, I feel like
so did his popularity.
Yes. Yes.
And so did his ego. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I love me some Joey. I say nothing. My point in all of this is that when we started the show, he, I think, you know, he'd done a lot of shows before. He, by far of all of us, had the most experience.
Sure.
For as much as I had on my resume, it could not compete with Joey having been on a series before and really understanding that day to day.
He worked nonstop from the time he was 5 years old. I mean, he was the consummate, it wasn't even a child actor. He was just an actor.
No,
I mean,
right.
He'd been working forever.
And well deserved. And
yeah, absolutely. So talented.
So talented. And so I think, you know, the interesting thing was to watch what happened as we grew enough into our bodies ourselves, that the audience, like all the girls would start throwing, I mean, we would come out for intros before the show, you know, they'd
cast intros, yeah.
And, And people would, like, girls would throw underwear. And I'm like, I don't know if they packed them in their purse. Wow. They're wearing them first. I don't want to know. But underwear were flung. Jeez. Well aimed, might I add, flung
at a teenager.
And you know, and we were like 12, 13, 14. That's, and it was intense. Just, that's what's so crazy is we started the show when, so I was 12. And I'm trying to think, so that would make, I guess, Joey 13 and Mayim 14. Cause I think I want to say we were like a couple of years off from each other. So we literally went from being kids to being teenagers and him being this teenage heartthrob almost overnight.
Right.
And so they would fling underwear, the condoms were thrown.
Oh my gosh.
It was bizarre. Like, I don't even know if I knew what condoms were when they were thrown. That's how like early on it was.
Gross.
And yeah, it was just bizarre. And it but also this kind of brilliant phenomenon that happened where it was like the making of an idol.
Of a teen idol. Yeah, you really got to see them from the inside of the making of a teen idol. Like, going back television-wise, you're talking David Cassidy, Scott Baio. I mean, this is like a generational teen icon was Joey Lawrence in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, he was that peak of talent and of popularity. It was amazing.
And so why should he not do a music video where he raps and rides around like a, you know, a jungle gym thing? Like, that's
why not?
Naturally, that's the next step to follow.
He throws the football to himself. He throws the football and then catches the same football. It's impressive.
Very impressive.
I feel like you've spent more time watching it than I.
My stepdaughter, from the time she was a little kid, Nothing My Love Can't Fix For You Baby has been her jam. So it's, I mean, but again, just very impressive to both be the quarterback and the wide receiver at the same time. Totally. That's all I have to say. Yeah, very impressive.
Totally. And I feel like at the next Super Bowl, we should really
invite him.
Make sure some people know about that, because that's what it really is. Yeah.
So Blossom was a mid-season replacement that ended up going 114 episodes.
Jeez.
When did you know it was a hit, and were you recognized all the time?
So you know something that I don't, which is it was 114 episodes. For some reason in my head, I was thinking it was like 122 or 23, but also confusing it with the Parkers right now, it's highly possible. I don't know when we knew. I can tell you that we did the pilot. It did not get picked up. I had gone, so when going back a little bit, when I went to LA, when they flew me to LA from New York, and I went to network for Blossom, and they told me right then and there, they told Joey and I that we'd gotten it. I then did not go to network for Lenny, which was immediately following, like an hour or two later, because I already had a show. So I had to skip it. Well, when Blossom didn't get picked up, Don Rio called me and said, "Hey, would you like to be on Lenny instead?" And I was like, "Well, sure. I'm not an idiot." Yeah. So I went and did Lenny. We did the pilot. That show was already picked up. So I was on CBS. CBS had no idea. They didn't know that I was the same girl from Blossom, which is super weird, but we'll go with it. I had like curly hair on one show and straight hair on another. And apparently it was terribly deceiving.
Yeah. You had Clark Kent glasses. Yeah.
Exactly. And then Lenny got halfway through the season and Blossom got picked up as a mid-season replacement with this revamp of Ted Wass being the single dad as opposed to parents. We had, originally a mom and a dad. So it's Ted Wass as a single parent, but they wanted to keep all the kids. So at that point, Don Rio told NBC, I've got Jenna on this other show. And they were like, "What are you talking about?" He was like, "We're going to have to recast six because Jenna is on my other show on CBS. And they were like, "You're kidding." "Oh, okay." So they recast the role halfway through the first week. Don calls me in my schoolroom and says, So listen, how do you feel about doing two shows at once?
Yes.
Wow.
You're right. Such a badass.
Well, the original Lisa Kudrow.
Awesome. All over it. I was like, I'm in. I get off the phone. My tutor, God bless her, who I'm still friends with. I don't know if she remembers this or not. I got to ask her. But Sandy was like, so Don doesn't really call you in the schoolroom much. Like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, I'm going to do both shows. She was like, and when are we going to do school? I was like, yeah, we'll figure it out.
School schmool.
Right,
two
exactly.
Different networks.
So I did both shows, and we filmed one on Tuesdays and one on Fridays for half a season. And I went back and forth and I did both shows. And then at the end of the first year, Lenny had been on CBS up against Murphy Brown, like with Murphy Brown, but it was during the Gulf War. And it just, we got preempted so many times. There was no way that show could live.
What was Lenny, very briefly? Who was on Lenny?
Based on this comedian, Lenny Clark. Awesome guy. Yeah. He's done a lot of work since, actually.
Yeah, I know that. I know of Lenny Clark, yeah.
Lenny and then Lee Garlington, a phenomenal actress, played his wife. There were great, great cast members. I mean, just great. It took place in Boston. He's this Boston comic. And it was like kind of at the sort of the initiation of comics having television shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like the Boston guy too. It's Lenny Clark absolutely. He's Boston. Yeah.
He is Boston through and through.
Yep.
Yes. So, so I did that for half a season and then it got canceled because of being preempted so many times. I just couldn't get the numbers up because of that. Mm-hmm. But Blossom went. And so then they finally, because at first I had to be a guest star on Blossom because I was already a regular on Lenny. So for like the first half a season of the first year of Blossom, I was a guest star, I think, until they could technically legally
make me
a regular. So we did that and it was just like this crazy, crazy situation that I can't imagine happening now. And it kind of blows my mind.
Jeez.
And Six became such an identifiable character. Was it always, I mean, you talked about like wearing the hat at the network and stuff, but was it always written like as this very identifiable, fast talking, quirky, or was that kind of, did that evolve with you in concert with the writing, creating the character?
Well, this is called Jenna drank too much coffee as a kid. True story. Wait, did I answer the full question that you asked me before? I'm trying to think. I feel like there was a two-parter and the second part of it
was, did you get recognized all the time?
Oh, well, like when did we know that the show was like, did we?
Yeah, it was a win. Did you know it was a hit and did you get recognized all the time?
I feel like. So when the show got picked up as a mid-season replacement for a couple years, the first year or so, it was sort of just even keeled. And then I want to say something weird happened with like Warren Littlefield was president of NBC at the time. Yeah. And I think if I recall correctly, and I hope I'm not misquoting all of this, because obviously been a couple years. Mm-hmm. His daughter was like obsessed with the show and he was going to cancel it. And she was like, oh my God, please, please don't do that. Like, I think we almost single-handedly can thank Warren Littlefield's daughter for the show being, mm-hmm. being given that chance, to continue. And then it really, really took off. And I will say that the moment there were like two moments where I was like, oh my God, I think actually like maybe people watch this show and it's a thing. The first was I went to a Boys to Men concert. Shocker. And
I can't wait to talk to you about music. Go on.
Yeah. And MC Hammer was also in concert with them. And I was in like Peoria, Illinois, doing some sort of like signing or something. It was, and people started climbing. I was in like a little box thing and people started climbing it to get autographs and they had to carry me. They had to carry me out. And I was like,
jeez.
Oh, okay. Like this might mean people watch the show. The second one was that they parodied us on Saturday Night Live.
That'll do it.
Definitely.
That did it. That did it for us. Like
that'll
it was
do
like
it.
Molly Shannon and that was
Mike Myers.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't Molly Shannon. I'm trying to remember who was in there. But like, yeah, Mike Myers, definitely. Mike Myers played Joey.
Yeah, I remember.
Just saying, whoa, yeah. Over and over.
But Blossom is also one of those shows, and it might be right at the tail end of it, frankly, but where the opening title sequence was hugely important to the show.
Yeah.
I mean, these were, you know, back in the days of Family Ties, Cosby Show, the opening title sequence was really important. It started to go away. Seinfeld got rid of it essentially entirely. Boy Meets World even got rid of it entirely. But that, I remember distinctly people singing the song, humming along with the song, seeing you all come out and dancing. I mean, it really was its own character at that time in television where that opening title sequences were important. I mean, it mattered what your opening title sequence was. And Blossom was one of the last ones that was really had that signature.
I don't know if I've ever realized that. You know, the original song was Bobby Brown's...
Don't worry. Oh, yet.
I'm blanking.
I'm singing Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah, that's Bobby McFerrin.
My Prerogative. My Prerogative. That was like the initial theme song. And then I don't know what happened. I'm sure it was a rights issue of some sort,
yeah.
And they couldn't, it wasn't sustainable, but and then it became, you know, I think it's Dr. John is who sings My Opinionation, and then that became like the thing. So weird.
So music is a huge part of your life and was always a passion of yours. Where did that come from? And tell us what it's meant to you over your life.
I mean, music was always a thing. My dad sings, my dad sings, but it's like, you know, church choir. And I grew up listening only to classical music. And I think my mom listened to John Denver. That was about the extent of my music knowledge. Like my mom doesn't like Elvis at all. She doesn't like the Beatles. So like I had to teach myself music, and which now this has become a big thing in my household. Like when I'm cooking dinner, I put on music from different genres and different eras for my girls, because I'm like, okay, who sings this? Come on,
yeah.
Let's go. You know, because yeah. I just like my daughter.
Cultural education. Yeah.
Exactly. And my daughter has taken to wearing Cyndi Lauper gloves to school on a daily basis. Match her outfit. So I mean, it's fine. It's all good. I don't know that the school's thrilled with me about it, but I'm thrilled. I love
You're
it.
Happy. Yeah.
We're channeling the 80s over here. I kind of like taught myself music, and it was always super important to me. I wrote from the time I was very, very little. That was always an outlet for me in some form or fashion. And I think it started out with music and poetry and things of that nature. Now I write, you know, film scripts, and I write for a lifestyle publication in Nashville and all that kind of stuff. So I've always written just in different capacities. But because my parents didn't really raise me to know a broad musical horizon, I was very excited being on Blossom because we had crazy cool music guests. Everybody from B.B. King to, you know, Little Richard, CNC Music Factory, like the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, it was a phenomenal eye-opening musical experience, I think, to be on the show, because Don Rio is such a music fan that he invited as many people as he could that he loved and respected to the show. And, you know, and we all had really vast and varied musical. Mayim was very much the like Violent Femmes and Elvis Costello and and you know, again, Joey was the Boys to Men and Velvet Buzzo and you know, and all of that. And so it was kind of a cool exposure.
Wow.
That's so great.
Yeah.
You've mentioned your daughters a couple of times now. Mm-hmm. You have two daughters, and you've been able to write about your experience with the Situation Momedy books.
Yeah.
What would you say is the most important lesson you've learned in motherhood?
Grace. Just grace, capital G-R-A-C-E. Mm-hmm. my kids are amazing. My older daughter is Gray. She's 11. And then my younger daughter, Marlo, is 9. And, you know,
her name is Gray.
gray.
Okay. I thought she's gone gray already at 11. I was like, wow.
No.
Okay.
I mean, they make me go gray. That's why I'm wearing the baseball cap. They're amazing. They're so awesome. Like, it's really cool parenting is really cool. Like, adulting sucks ass, but parenting is really cool. And I think Gray's in middle school and she's my introspective, avid reader. She's kind of me at her age. She very much wants to people please. And she's like, she wants everybody to know she's trying her best and she's kicking butt in school and she's like in the gifted program and she's, she's freaking brilliant and she's super intuitive. She understands things that it's just not even right. It's not fair and not right because there are just conversations we shouldn't have, but we do, and they're awesome. And I pour myself a bourbon and we sit down and we chat. and then Marlo is like my little spitfire firecracker. She's kind of me once I realized that I had a voice. And I'm super impressed that she at 9 years old already knows that she has one.
That's great. Aww.
It's pretty, pretty cool.
So if your girls came to you and said they wanted to get into acting, what do you think you would say?
Well, they have, which is sort of crazy. I think this is probably the first interview I've done I haven't done one in a while where that question has been asked. And like in the past, I was always like, well, if they're really serious about it, obviously, this industry comes with its pitfalls and there are so many highs and lows on a daily basis, really, with this industry. And, but having experienced as much as we all have, particularly during a time when I think that we understand work ethic and sort of like the sort of old school industry the way that we do, which I have a lot of appreciation for old school industry. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could coach them through it in a way that would, my parents were so green. They just didn't know about any of it. And having the background that we have makes it a little bit easier. At the same time, having the background makes me sit back and go, you better really want it, kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, they just need to really want it. I want to know it's coming from them. It's not hey, you did it, so I'm curious about it. Mm-hmm. Being curious is awesome. You should be curious about everything. Please be curious. Be curious about it all. But to actually pursue this industry, I need to know that you want it for you. This is your passion, not your passion because it was my passion or is my passion.
Yeah.
And, both of my kids have expressed high, high level interest in it. But they're both really young. And I also understand that we live in a world where social media has produced very, people with a lot of notoriety that haven't necessarily used talent to get there. That's like I'm just trying to be fair about this whole thing. Social media isn't necessarily always based on talent. Now, that's not to say it isn't based on business savvy. Totally different thing. But to actually be an actress, like, I want to know that you have talent and want, this is like what you actually
has to be about the art or expression.
Desire, a personal desire to do it yourself too.
Right. Not that like Taylor Swift is famous, ergo I should be famous.
Right.
Like, this is not, that's not what I'm working. I'm not going to work with that. So, I'm careful. Mindful about.
Thoughtful.
Sure.
About their pursuits. Cause I just want to make sure it really truly is coming from the right place and coming from their heart and nothing else.
Have they watched Blossom? Do they know how cool you were? And are.
Well, I don't know about cool, because I'm pretty sure if you ask both of my children, they'd be like, ooh, have you seen our mom dance? I want to say they've seen an episode of Blossom. I believe I showed them an episode of Blossom a couple years ago because they were asking about it. And I wanted them, you know, I'm proud of it. Like, I am really proud of it. And I want them to have context. At the same time, I don't want them to feel any sense of weird entitlement by that, or like confusion that somehow, I don't know, that's just not really a part of our lives at this particular juncture. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want them to feel my sense of pride and understand my work ethic without thinking that it's cool that I was on the show.
Right.
Right.
Do you still get recognized?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long have you been in, you're in Nashville, right?
I am.
How long have you been there?
Here's what's crazy. So come April, I'll be here 17 years.
Wow. And you I got there early.
And I was in LA 17 years. Wow. So this bizarre thing for me is hitting this moment where I'm like, oh, wow, I've actually been in both places.
Just mm-hmm. as long.
Yeah, for an equal amount of time.
That's so cool.
So weird.
So looking back now, almost 35 years since Blossom debuted.
Shh, I hear nothing. What?
I know. Looking at young Jenna's work, dating young Will Friedle at the time.
Yes, yeah.
How do you feel about young Jenna? And what message would you like to give to her today?
Oh, gosh. It's kind of the same message that I give myself and my kids now about having grace. I think, you know, I knew exactly what I was getting into at that time, in the sense that it was my passion. I wanted so badly to continue working. I was the one who begged my parents to be an actress. I, you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't their idea, it was mine. And I continued to have 100% passion for it. I still do. You know, being in Nashville doesn't change the fact that I absolutely love being on camera. I love memorizing lines. I love writing scripts. I love reading scripts. I love sitting with the cast at the first read. I love all of it. Every last bit of it. But I think the biggest thing for me would just be, you know, we all go through our own evolution with self-awareness. And I had a really hard time. I think we were on shows during a time when someone like Tracy Gold was getting called fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was drastically affecting her view of herself. And it caused her to, in a big way, and caused her to have an eating disorder, you know? And I think we probably all, in our own ways, carry with us certain elements of that time of feeling like really we could, like, you know, now everybody's far more careful about what they joke about, mm-hmm. to be fair. You know, everybody's really aware of mental health. Particularly following COVID, you know, and we were on shows during a time where they made a lot of fun of things because they could, and it wasn't, nobody was saying, hey, maybe that's harming this person in the long run. So I don't know. I'd like to think that what I would tell myself is to just sort of take it with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. And I probably wouldn't believe it if I heard it.
Right.
I probably heard it from somebody then and didn't, you know, because we all have to go through our own experiences with it. And I'm very much a visual person. So I'm not shocked that I had to be hands-on in all of it to really appreciate that. But I'd like to think that having self-awareness and evolving and adulting, man, I feel like it. has helped me outgrow some of those difficulties with self-confidence, you know, which is also, again, why I go back to, it's so interesting to hear you say, Ryder, that I've seemed so confident because I felt so far from confident during that time. And ironically, I want to say that because I did Mayim's podcast at one point, and I want to say she said something similar to me. I'm like, I just... there's nothing that I never, ever felt confident. I still wake up in the morning and drink my cup of coffee. And I'm like, do I feel confident today? I don't know. We'll see how it goes. So it's so interesting to hear other people's perspectives relative to kind of shining a light on your own opinions on it. Yeah. But
well, Jenna, you were one of the coolest people we knew back then, and you're still one of the coolest people we know today. And we are honored that you spent your time with us this morning. It's so good to reconnect with you. Please let us know the next time you're in LA.
I will.
We would absolutely love to do that dinner.
Yeah. If Edubevic still existed, which I'm assuming it doesn't.
There's one in Chicago.
We'll rent Celica's.
We'll go to an Italian restaurant and look at each other while not eating salad.
And Jenna and I will record it on a tape recorder for Teen Beat. And I'll bring my mom, who will take a photo shoot for us.
Love it.
I think we've got it. We've hit the nail on the head here.
We've got to really find that tape, Jenna. We've got to find that tape of the original first date.
Oh my God. I wonder if I probably turned it into Teen Beat. It's either, burned somewhere, or it's in some scary archive in some microcassette.
It's on microfiche somewhere.
That old. I mean, old, but not that old. Boy, Jenna, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Yeah, it's good to see
you. Thank you. So good to see you. Big, big, big hug. Can't wait to give it to you in person.
Huge hugs. Same here.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
It's so interesting how many women we speak to who all have, the same stories. And it's not just women, of course. Men in the industry also have their own, feelings of insecurity and whatever. But really, almost every woman we talk to has some story about feeling not beautiful or worried about whether or not they were overweight. And, they're always the people that we're like, wait, what? Like, you aren't a good judge of yourself. Yeah. We don't see ourselves.
Certainly in terms of the looks, but even in terms of, like, it's so funny that she didn't even think of herself as like put together or confident.
Yeah.
When like amazing. She was the ultimate.
The most.
Confident, mm-hmm. funny,
yep.
like knew everything about, it just goes to show that like, no matter what stage you're in, whether you're a teenager acting on a TV show or a 44-year-old sad dad, mm-hmm. to get out of your own way, like, don't worry about it. Like, just be focused on, your goals and the thing, and the
and
other
being the
people
person
around
you want to be.
And being the person, and just worry about that. Like, if you worry too much about who you are, what you look like, what you sound like, or what people's perception of you, it's never good. Like, it doesn't help any. Like, cause you actually will never know, like, you could be going through
but
the worst
easier
time.
Easier said than done though. Everybody says to themselves, like, I'm not going to care what people think about me. I'm not going to care how I look. And it's almost impossible to do. Everybody seems to care about all that stuff all the time. Right. And so it's the older you're getting, older I'm getting, I'm trying to let that stuff go, but it's hard. It's different now than it was when I was 15, 16, but it's still always there.
Yeah. Well, when you're that age too, it's really hard for you to understand that you're actually not the center of the universe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, you're supposed to think you're the center of the universe at that time. And yet trying to tell yourself, no one else is thinking this as much as you are, is impossible to understand.
Well, but if you're on a TV show, you actually are kind of the center of the universe.
You're the center of that universe.
I mean, that's
what
it's so weird, right?
Yeah.
When you're an adolescent and you still do think the world revolves around your social life. And then your friends, the people you work with, are also being recognized everywhere you go. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's distorting. It was always a distorting mirror.
Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
Jenna Celica was white merch.
Can't believe you were right about
called that.
I'm never wrong. How did this happen? Writer, send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Wilfred L., and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
I am happy to announce that Target Circle, the program we all know and love, now has automatic deals.
And with the all-new Target Circle being free to join, there has never been an easier way to take advantage of the most deals at Target.
When you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout, so you get the savings without lifting a finger.
And right now, you can sign up for Target Circle 360, which offers unlimited same-day delivery for just $49 for the first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details.
Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circle card.